Welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. My name is Phil Strum. Excited to be joined today by Damian Priest from WWE and The Judgment Day. Damian has done some very cool things in his tenure in WWE, from his cool dark persona in NXT forever and his rivalry with Finn Balor, to teaming with Grammy Award winner Bad Bunny, a well-regarded WrestleMania match with The Miz and John Morrison, to what he's doing right now with the group The Judgment Day over on Monday Night Raw. As of recording this, it wasn't yet official, but I would imagine Damian will likely be in action in some form at Money in the Bank, the pay-per-view which takes place Sunday at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. So right now, here's my interview with Damian Priest. So happy to have with us here the one and only Archer of Infamy from WWE and The Judgment Day, Damian Priest, with us here on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. Damian, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. We'll start with the current things you're up to in WWE. You're a member of a group, first with Edge and Rhea Ripley, now with Finn Balor and Rhea. What has that story been like for you to tell, and how do you think you and Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley complement each other now you're being presented as equals in the group?
Yeah, this whole thing has been super cool. You know, being a focal point of the show is never a bad thing, right? So I've enjoyed it a lot. You know, I got to spend some time alongside Edge and learn from him. And now, you know, like you said, you know, now being that the group has transitioned into an all equals thing, I'm looking forward to it. Rhea, myself, and Finn, we have like good chemistry, and we get along really well. And when we talk on ideas and whatnot, everything just flows. Like, we're always on the same page. So this is going to be good. This is going to work out really well for us.
What is Edge like to work with and collaborate with? He's somebody that's been around for so long and has seen so much.
He's a wizard when it comes to this business, you know, and somebody, whenever you get to work with like legends and Hall of Famers and, you know, just guys that have been in this business on a top level for a long time, it's like, it's so easy for them as far as, you know, simplifying things and making you understand, you know, what the goal is and what the purpose of a segment is and whatnot. So for me, it was great just seeing how he simplifies things, and it's easier to just focus and make everything you do in the best way possible.
As I was looking some things up before this interview, I realized, and I don't know why I didn't realize it sooner, you have a ton of history with Finn Balor. Like, almost every stop you've had along NXT and WWE, he's been there in some form as your opponent. What is he like to create with? I mean, I remember that big moment in NXT. I believe you got dropped on the steel steps on your back, and that was a big turning point for you too. So just, what's it been like with Finn?
Awesome. Another one. He's so talented. So, and every time we're in the ring, whether we've teamed or faced each other, it's always good. It's always, you know, like, it's my favorite part of working, you know, when you have good chemistry with somebody and, you know, somebody's on a top level and they push you and you make you better. Like, you have no choice but to, you know, raise the bar for yourself when you're in the ring with somebody like that. So for me, it's since the first day I worked with him, since the first day I met him, it's been all positiveness, and I enjoy working with Finn.
Was that all NXT when you first interacted with him?
Yeah. The first time I ever interacted with him, the first time we ever met, was in NXT.
And I know Rhea Ripley has mentioned that she's greatly influenced by the music that she listens to. Are you the same with that?
Yeah. We've talked about it because we like a lot of the similar bands and whatnot. I'm a big rock and heavy metal guy. So, naturally, you know, it's... Usually you tend to kind of lean towards your musical interests as far as, you know, the way you speak, the way you dress, the way you act. So a huge part of Damian Priest is, you know, has to do with music.
What's currently on your playlist?
I have a range of things, you know, from Metallica to Soilwork and Megadeth and Slayer and Judas Priest. And so I'm all over the place with new and old stuff.
And all three of you individually had such interesting looks and entrances. And I was kind of wondering about the process that leads to kind of what the general vibe of the Judgment Day is, both in like the entrance and the gear and even the you know, the suits and stuff like that too. What's that been like, and what's that process like, both with WWE and with them?
Well, with them, it's super cool because, like I said, it's crazy how we're on the same page all the time. You know, when we're going to go out there. And it's kind of like, we don't have to discuss, like, what should we wear? It's like, we're doing the suits, right? Like, yeah, that's what I figured, you know, and it's kind of cool. And we're big fans of the presentation, you know, the three of us. We're pretty much the same as that way too, where we think it's really important, you know, where, you know, our gear has to be important. The lighting has to be important. You know, just the walk has to be important. Everything. Like, we're very into the presentation side of things. And obviously working with the WWE, it's cool because they're willing to kind of work with us with that, because, you know, to them, it's also important. So the process of the way we look and just the way we're presented, it's one of the cooler ones that we get to do here, you know, as far as the Judgment Day is concerned.
Yeah, and I thought that whole purple light and everything like that on the episode of Monday Night Raw, when you guys had the backstage interview on the Tron, just looked so cool. And it was such a cool image to be able to, you know, see pop up. So you had a unique path to WWE, starting in the Monster Factory and then Ring of Honor before landing in NXT and, you know, ultimately the main roster now. Kind of describe how your persona evolved over time, how your in-ring wrestling evolved over time, and were there influences along the way, you know, people that were kind of your go-tos?
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a lot of go-tos, but, you know, when you get to speak to people in person, you know, when Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Coach Bloom, and then you have, you know, extra, like, legends coming in to coach, like Undertaker and Scott Hall did a few times, you know, X-Pac. It's easier to kind of then, after speaking to them, then watch them and study a little bit and see what they're talking about when they give you advice, you know. But my road was long, you know, like you said, started at the Monster Factory, and it was cool just, you know, trying out things. And then when I was in Ring of Honor, you know, doing like that evil character, and it was neat because it taught me like how to, you know, portray different ranges and what I was trying to do. And, you know, like, it was all kind of a learning experience to get me here. And even my time at NXT, where then, you know, Triple H kind of wiped all that. And he was like, just be you, you know, and just turn up the volume. And that was fun. And now I'm kind of like a combination of all of it, you know, and I feel like this is one of the most comfortable times that I've ever felt in the business. So it kind of, everybody and everything guided me to where I am today. And it's kind of cool, like, looking back, and I'll look at old pictures or watch old matches, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy how this has changed. And even my new style, to your point, has changed over time. You know, just, I thought I had to do so much and go out there and do, you know, ridiculous things all the time, and you don't. It's, you know, here now on this level, it's kind of more of what can people follow, what's the story, and you know, you figure out certain things that you thought were important aren't. So it, the whole learning experience and getting to where I am today was very enjoyable, and it's one of those things that I wouldn't change anything, you know, even the bad stuff. So and I'm appreciative of everybody that helped me along the way.
And I wanted to ask you about the Scott Hall influence. I'm glad you brought him up, actually. You know, you did the surfer walk after he died, and you also do your own version of the Razor's Edge. And I was going to kind of ask you about your interactions with him. Obviously, you got to in NXT, but also just doing that after being, you know, a fan of his, because I think a lot of people, myself included, were big fans of his.
Yeah, he was just as cool as the character. I'll tell you that much. So in a way, it wasn't really a character. It was just him. I remember meeting him at NXT. He came in as a guest coach, and, you know, I got to watch some of my matches back with him, you know, and it, that experience alone, it's so cool, you know. And again, like, you, one of my idols, and now he's giving me advice, sitting down with me, watching my matches, and, you know, pointing out stuff and trying to make it better. And then me asking him, yo, would it be cool if I did the walk and the, you know, the Razor's Edge? And he was like, yeah, man, he was anything that'll remind people of me, you know? So super cool guy. And I'm glad I got to spend some time with him, you know? And then when I would see him after that, even when I was eliminated to Monday Night Raw, he was always, you know, hey, what's going on, brother? You know, like, he would come up to me, and it super cool. Love the fact that I got to, you know, have that time with him. Not everybody gets to meet some of their heroes and whatnot. So this was definitely a positive one, and I'm glad I got to spend a little time with him.
Yeah, and even just outside of the personal, I can think of nobody better to kind of teach what a big man can do in the ring. And for you guys are similar body types, similar height, you know, it's a lot of the same stuff. So you could, I could see how that could be kind of a connection too.
Oh yeah. For exactly. Like the similarities, you know, where he would say, see, because you're so long, do this, do it this way. He was able to look better, you know, like that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. And he was great with that. And I still, to this day, watch his stuff and study, cause he's so good, you know, for what he did. And it was all about the moments for him and, you know, just making everything mean something. So yeah, Scott Hall was the man.
So at WrestleMania 2021, you had one of the most unique roles, tag teaming with Bad Bunny to face The Miz and John Morrison. And many people thought Bad Bunny, and of course, it's a credit to you and also to your opponents, that he was one of the better celebrity performers ever. What was he like to work with? What did you think of his attitude and his aptitude? And what can other people that might be jumping into WWE later on from the outside learn from what he was able to accomplish?
To learn is, if you're going to do this and you want to be successful, even if it's for one match or whatever, you got to commit yourself, which is what he did. I was so impressed. I think everybody was impressed by that, you know, internally, just his commitment to making sure he delivered, you know, and he didn't want to embarrass himself. He didn't want to embarrass his family, his friends, his fans, and he didn't want to embarrass our business. You know, that was a big thing for him. He wanted to earn the respect of everyone, you know, fans and the locker room alike. So he moved all the way to Orlando, close to the Performance Center, just so he could train, you know, multiple days a week. I mean, he was training 4 or 5 days a week for a couple months straight, you know. He literally changed his life just to this, dedicated himself to wrestling, just to make sure it worked out. I've never seen anything like that, you know, especially when it comes to celebrities. They're usually here to promote something and work, collaborate on something. His was more, I want to do the wrestling and that's it, you know, and it was pretty cool. And he had a good head, you know, the entire time, where, you know, he was thrilled to be there and he worked hard. You know, he showed up on time or early to train and stay later and talk, ask questions, and, you know, took his bumps and he got it hard. Like, we didn't take it easy on him, but he would keep getting up and, you know, and wanting to do things right. And it was pretty cool to experience that process with him.
I recall hearing that you were from similar parts of Puerto Rico or from the same part of Puerto Rico. Was that right?
Yeah. So just funny enough, I was raised in the same town he was born in. I have a family member that was a middle school a teacher that taught his brother. So it's a small world, man. It's a small world and even smaller island.
Yeah, seriously. Did you end up becoming a fan of his music? I know it's maybe not wasn't really your musical vibe, but.
Yeah, so I knew who he was, obviously, and I had heard his music. So now I probably listen to his music a lot more now than I did then. So because, you know, when you become friends with somebody, you want to support, and now, you know, you start to enjoy it and whatnot the more you listen to it. So I think 100% I became more of a fan of the music side after we formed a relationship.
And he's somehow become an even bigger star since then too, which is insane.
Unreal.
So you were recently part of the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City. Just wanted to kind of talk to you about how does your heritage impact your work in wrestling?
So it's crazy. Like, the dream was just wrestling, you know, and being a WWE superstar. I didn't realize the platform I would have. And then now, you know, and I look at other people, how they use the platform to better, you know, to kind of create awareness of their culture and their background. So when I realized that was a thing, I was on board, and I loved the idea of that aspect, that I could, you know, raise awareness to our culture. And, you know, being invited to something like the Puerto Rican Day Parade is, you know, it's the biggest cultural parade of the year in the United States, period. So being an ambassador too, I this is such an honor. I couldn't believe when I was asked. I was like, is this for real? You know, I used to go to the parade every year as a kid. So to be on the other side and to have that role, I mean, it's special. And again, it's an honor to represent our people. You know, I try to do it to the best of my abilities, you know, as far as being a proud, you know, Puerto Rican and American. So it's It's wild. Like that to me, that was one of the coolest things I've done since being a part of the WWE. I'll cherish that forever.
Very good. And so you were born in Puerto Rico, raised in New York?
Opposite. I was born in New York, raised in Puerto Rico.
So if you watched pro wrestling WWE when you were younger, was it in Puerto Rico or in New York?
I started in Puerto Rico. I would spend the summers with my dad in New York and then back to Puerto Rico. And then once I was a little older, I moved to New York. And then, you know, there on, I just stayed up there. But but my first love for this business started in Puerto Rico.
So was it like Carlos Colon and those kind of guys that you were watching back then?
So I did watch them as well because they had their own promotion in Puerto Rico. But I was still a big WWE guy. Even then, I would watch superstars and whatever shows that Saturday Night Main Event, whatever was available at the time to watch. We were always all the kids in the neighborhood, like we all had our times that we had to watch the wrestling and then go out and mimic what we just watched.
Which is what they always tell you not to do.
Exactly. We did exactly what we were supposed to do.
Very good. So we're going to move to something we call the three count. It's going to be three quick questions and your answers to them. So first one, so you are the archer of infamy. Have you ever actually done archery? If so, how did you do? And do you like it?
I do. I own a couple bows. I enjoy it very much. I practice just randomly whenever I want. I'll put up a target in my backyard and I'll just shoot a few arrows, and I enjoy it very much, and I'm okay at it. I wouldn't say I'm great or good. I'm just okay.
Have you ever done voiceover work, and what commercial would sound 10 times better with Damian Priest introducing it?
Yes. I've never done voiceover work. I don't know. I feel like some type of like hair product.
Because you definitely have the voice for it. I think that's clear. Thanks. And finally, if you could just come out to any song by any, favorite kind of musical act of yours, what song would represent Damian Priest well and why?
Oh, man, that's wild. If any song, I would go with maybe For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica. I mean, the name of the song will tell you, basically it's representing what's about to happen to my opponent. The vibe of it, it's great. It has the bells, which is kind of be a little throwback and reminder of Undertaker, kind of a tribute. And it's like it sounds like it was made to be a theme song for a wrestler just because it has such a long intro. That would be my choice.
Did you ever come out to that before WWE?
No. Surprisingly, I never. The only song I used with bells was A Touch of Evil by Judas Priest, which is another good one. I never used the From the Bell Tolls.
Interesting. It's amazing when we had Rhea Ripley on the show, how much we veered into music and talking about the influences on that. She was talking about her stomp and her entrance and everything and where that came from. So it's fun to hear what, those other influences are that kind of come from outside the wrestling realm, I guess you could say.
Yeah, totally.
So, Damian, thank you so much for joining us today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. Really enjoyed this. And good luck to you for everything you're doing moving forward.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thanks again, everyone, for joining us today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. I'd like to thank Damian Priest for taking the time to be with us today. Also, like to thank Adam Hopkins from WWE for his help with the show. Join us next week, where our guest will be someone I am very familiar with, one half of the now, the one and only Vic Delicious. If you don't know Vic's story in pro wrestling, you should. One of the things I really wanted to accomplish with this program is interesting talks with interesting human beings who just so happen to be pro wrestlers. So I've known Vic for over 14 years. He suffered probably the worst injury I've ever seen in pro wrestling in person and had a long and arduous struggle of the problems before a recent comeback where he's arguably in the best shape of his life and maybe doing his best work now, you could say. If you like what we're doing, subscribe. If you really like what we're doing, leave us a positive review over on Apple. And until next week, have a great week, everyone.